Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode...
And I think if we're eating the foods that we're meant to be eating, which, you know, is would be meat-based, in my opinion, my strong opinion, then we don't need to be eating all the time. When you have a nice, big, juicy steak, you're not going to be hungry 2 hours later. Or for breakfast, when you have bacon and eggs, you're not going to be hungry an hour later compared to having a nice sugary cereal where your, you know, your blood sugar spikes and an hour later you're hungry again.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rewilded Human Podcast. I'm Dr. Lucille Nekas, and this is my partner in crime, Lynn Hardy. And I am delighted. I'm absolutely delighted today to be doing something a little bit different on our episode, which is I'm going to be interviewing Lynn on the topic of fasting. I have been fasting for ages and ages, and I mostly, I think, have done it wrong. And Lynn, however, is an expert, and she has a book that she's written that I highly recommend to everybody who's into fasting, the Fasting Bible. And here is the subtitle. You're going to love this. Mm-hmm. How to Lose Weight, Grow Younger, and Heal Your Body in 30 Days or Less. Now, is that not, isn't that compelling? Oh, my God. I highly recommend this book. You know, it is, she's done so much great research on it. And it's a very easy and engaging read, and you are going to really learn so much about fasting that you never knew. And I've read about fasting for a long, long time, and I find that Lynn has done a really excellent job in putting it all together in this wonderful book. So if you're curious about fasting, or if you're a veteran faster, or if you're somebody who, you know, has been fasting, but really is a bit disappointed in the results, I highly recommend this book. You're going to learn something no matter what category you're in. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn, for agreeing to let me pick your brain. And so let's start. Okay.
Okay. You can see me blushing. I'm in the hot seat. So the pressure is on.
Here's the expert who's blushing. It's quite hilarious. She is so knowledgeable in this area. There's no reason to blush, but blushing is quite charming. So go ahead. Okay. So Lynn, tell us how you got into fasting in the first place.
Okay. Well, fasting, oh boy, I was very young. I was like 18 or 19 when I did my first fast. And of course it was motivated by vanity. You know, I wanted to lose a few kilos. And the first fasting that I did was a juice fast. So, you know, back then juice fasting in the 80s was quite popular. I ended up doing a lot of different juice fasts throughout the years. And I would do long ones, like 2-3 week juice fasts, which I no longer recommend juice fasting. That's a whole other topic, a long one. But I really thought that I was doing the best for my body with the juice fast. And like I said, I've done several 3 week ones, 2-3 week long juice fast. It really helped me to lose weight, but it didn't really provide the benefits as far as my health and everything else that I was going for. So I embarked on my first ever water fast, which is a game changer. It's a completely different category. We shouldn't even put juice fasting and water fasting into the same category. So I did my first ever water fast 6 years ago, and that like changed my life. It changed my life completely. And that's when I really got involved in researching fasting and looking more into it, because it's just what it did for my own health, not just with weight loss. Again, the motivation was again weight loss, because you know, for us ladies, that tends to take like center stage even over our health, which is very sad, but I'm being honest here, right?
Yeah.
So again, I got to the point where I was just disgusted with myself. I wasn't happy with myself. And I just kind of jumped in, and I didn't really go with the intention of doing a 10-day fast. I just kind of did it day by day, and I felt so amazing, and everything just started feeling better and better day by day. So it ended up being 10 days. And, you know, wow. Within these 10 days, not only did I lose weight, I was able to lose the weight, continue to lose weight, keep the weight off 6 years later, but I was able to heal eczema, which was driving me crazy for years. Also my Hashimoto's, never had to take even supplements after that. I had this shoulder injury that I had for like 2 years where I couldn't even lift my arm up, gone. Like all the inflammation from my body, it was just absolutely life-changing for me.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. So basically, you just started, like I think all of us do who get into it, especially women, is in the weight loss. The weight loss is the big thing. And I remember when I did it, I started when I was in my mid-teens, which I think is way too young, actually, to start fasting. I did it for that reason, to lose the weight. And like you, well, I did some juice fasting, but I did water fasting, and I also did fruit fasting. I've been around the block a few times with this stuff, and I am so glad to hear something you said about how it cleared up all your chronic conditions.
Absolutely.
Because that is really, I think, what we should be going for when we do a fast is not just the weight loss, because weight loss is just a symptom, right? Exactly. Weight is a symptom of everything else that's out of balance in our bodies, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a really exciting story. So I'm very glad that you got to that point where you could just release all of this chronic disease that it shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Absolutely.
So anyway, and the other thing that I'm curious about, and I know that probably a lot of our audience are a little bit confused about this, is that a lot of terms are thrown around, especially on social media, terms like, you know, we have the fast and then we have cleanse and we have detox. And so they're somewhat used interchangeably and it gets a little bit confusing. So can you tell us what the difference is, or maybe the similarities among those three things?
Absolutely. Well, fasting is the absence of something. So, I mean, we can fast from food. We can even fast from water when you're doing a dry fast. That's also a possibility. So fasting is leaving something completely, staying away from something completely. Now, cleanse and a detox can be similar. But for example, detox is often used when you're detoxing from alcohol, detoxing from drugs, detoxing from sugar. So eliminating one specific thing, but not like a whole group of things. But detoxing can also be very similar to cleansing, where you're actually cleaning your body out with the use of herbs, different supplements, different therapies. So cleansing and detoxing is more about cleansing your body, while fasting is the absence of something. But at the same time, it's also detoxing and cleansing your body, which it's doing itself. It's doing the work itself, if that makes sense.
Okay, great. So a fast is also a detox and a cleanse, but a detox and a cleanse are not necessarily a fast.
Exactly. Yes, that's a great way of putting it. Absolutely. It's a really good question, because people do get that confused quite often.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. So now, one thing that I liked about your book, I've read quite a bit about fasting, but sometimes people refer to the historical context of it, but I like the fact that you spent a whole chapter on the historical context. It's not like fasting just sprang into popularity a few years ago on social media. I mean, humans have been doing it forever.
Right? Exactly.
And so I'm very glad that you put that historical context to it. So tell us a little bit about how far back in time, do the historical records tell us that humans were fasting, and why did we fast way back when?
Well, I think basically fasting is our natural state. You know, when we were hunter-gatherers, there wasn't this abundance of food like what we have in the supermarkets today. So we would catch a prey, we would eat, we would feast on this prey, and then we'd be fasting after that. And it could be for days or weeks until we were able to catch something again. So I think as humans, this was always just completely natural and normal. And we, you know, during the time when we were fasting, we had this abundance of energy, which we had to have in order to go out there and hunt again. So, you know, people think that you're going to get weak, you're going to get tired when you're fasting, but that's actually not the case, because as humans, biologically, we're conditioned to be feasting when there's a lot of food and then fasting when there isn't. So fasting goes back to, you know, when humankind began, which we don't know exactly when or how we came here. There are different theories on that, but I just think... And then somewhere along the way, you know, something went wrong when agriculture was introduced and everything. But at the same time, most religions still fast. You know, there's Ramadan, you know, in the Bible, there's talk about fasting and everything. So it's been a part of every culture, basically every society in the world. So fasting has always been around, and it's always been a really important part of our lives. I think somewhere where, you know, especially in the 20th century, I think with the abundance of food and everything, we just kind of forgot that. And somehow eating three meals a day with two snacks and a midnight snack, all of that became normal. But that is not normal. You know, we need time to digest our food. I don't think we were ever meant to be eating three or five times a day. I don't think that's normal. I don't think we're meant to be snacking. You know, it's not good for our digestion. It's not good for anything. We are not cows where we should be grazing all day long, right?
Right. And I think, right. Good point.
Yeah. And I think if we're eating the foods that we're meant to be eating, which, you know, is would be meat-based, in my opinion, my strong opinion, then we don't need to be eating all the time. When you have a nice, big, juicy steak, you're not going to be hungry 2 hours later. Or for breakfast, when you have bacon and eggs, you're not going to be hungry an hour later compared to having a nice sugary cereal where your, you know, your blood sugar spikes and an hour later you're hungry again and you need more carbs, more carbs, more carbs. So I think it's so nice to see that how there's this new interest in fasting. You know, it's so fashionable now. It's this fad word now. Oh yeah, I'm fasting. I'm intermittent fasting. You know, everyone's kind of throwing this around. A lot of people don't know what they're doing, but they know it's cool to be fasting. So people are fasting. And that's, you know, part of the reason why I put the book together is so that people understand what fasting is, understand how to do it safely for their bodies, understanding what the right fast for you is, because, you know, what's right for me might not but not be right for you, and to do it in a smart and safe way, because, you know, fasting is not for everyone, and it's not safe for everyone, and there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you put that in context too, because our bodies basically were not designed, like for millennium, we were hunter-gatherers, right? Yeah. Millennia. Our bodies are still to some extent designed that way, right? And I don't know how much the move to an agricultural society, agricultural lifestyle, has that imprinted enough on our genetics that we are well adapted to eating that way?
Not at all. If you look at human history being like this, and then the last 10,000 years with agriculture is like this. So it's like this small bit. So for that, for our genes to adapt to this new way of eating, we would need like another big chunk of history like this. It's not, and it's not natural for us. So this is why, you know, our jaws are much smaller. There's not enough room for our teeth. Our teeth are horrible. We have become much shorter, weaker, our bones are weaker, and all these chronic diseases that we didn't have before, that were not even known before. And now with all the processed food, you know, it's one step further. That we're not just talking about agriculture, but we're talking about, you know, Monsanto and GMO and, you know, all the other toxins and everything that's ending up in our food. It's not even food anymore. Most of the stuff in the supermarket is not even food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So fasting is even more important because we're eating all this crap that is making us sicker than ever. So, you know, to compensate for that somehow, fasting, I think, is absolutely crucial for pretty much anyone.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought in that point about, you know, in ancient times, if you were fasting as you were hunting, you know, or you're in the feasting state, you're in the fasting state. In the fasting state, you're actually gaining energy in order to go hunting again. And that struck me. That's really a very important point, you know, because I think most of us think, oh, I'm going to fast. I'm going to feel horrible. I'm going to be so tired. But it is remarkable how quickly you find you're picking up an energy once you start the fast.
Right? Actually, when I did the first 10-day fast, on the 10th day, I had an awesome workout at the gym.
Yeah,
you know, my growth hormone was spiking and I had all this energy and I did a really heavy weight training session. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? But, you know, it felt right. I had all this energy. And you'll also find when you're doing a longer fast, you tend to not sleep as well. You wake up at night quite a bit. And it's because your brain is telling you, go hunt, woman, go catch something, go, you know,
go
eat and go catch a prey. So it's really interesting, all the things that happen to your body, especially during an extended fast. It's absolutely fascinating.
Oh, well, that's great. Okay. I'm glad you're really busting some myths here. I know in your in your book, you bust myths. And I think that's really important for this area, you know, for people who are interested in it really have to do their research. So That's great. Okay. So I also wanted to know, you know, if you read about the benefits of fasting, it's like an endless list of benefits, right? And so can you just go over the ones that are most relevant to us in our modern society? Mm-hmm. What would be the best results that fasting can bring us now, given all our unnatural ways of eating?
Well, first of all, I'm hoping that when people are fasting from food, they will also fast from other harmful things, such as, you know, blue light, your computer, your screen, your phone. That would be a good time to kind of step back and fast from everything. So I think mm-hmm. that would really enhance your results dramatically. So there, like you said, there are so many things. It would be hard to like just narrow it down. I know weight loss is a huge, and everyone's looking for the magic pill for weight loss. And a lot of people are getting really great results, and they're able to maintain it through regular intermittent fasting or doing extended fast throughout the year. So I think weight loss is going to be the biggest motivational factor still to this day. But, you know, I have seen people really cure themselves, because they're curing themselves. You know, nobody else is doing this, from really chronic conditions. You know, like diabetes is a very common one and quite an easy one. If you do have diabetes, please keep in mind, don't just jump into a fast, because you need to really closely monitor your blood sugar, your insulin levels and everything, especially if you're on medication. So you need to be under the supervision of your physician. So, you know, and for basically, if you have any kind of condition, that's important to keep that in mind. But, you know, diabetes is huge. That I've seen a lot. But, you know, even for more serious conditions like cancer, dementia, Parkinson's, you know, because it has a huge effect on your brain. You notice that after like 2-3 days, your brain just clears and you start, you know, everything's accelerated and everything's amplified. Your hearing, your vision, your just the way you're thinking, the way you're seeing the world. It's just mind blowing. And if you've never experienced that, you really need to do a longer fast to truly experience those results, because it's absolutely amazing. But it's hard to just pinpoint down to like one specific kind of condition, because we're all suffering from different things, but it really can help so many different conditions.
Yes. And I think also there's quite a bit of research out now, isn't there, about the benefits of fasting for certain chronic conditions?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, so it's really, as we said earlier, I think it's really important that we think about our health holistically.
Yes.
And that fasting is not just, if you're thinking about fasting only for weight loss, you're missing the boat. And you may then do the fasting in the wrong way, because mm-hmm. you're so desperate.
Exactly.
To see those pounds fall off, right?
Yeah, the goal should always be your health. And once you have a healthy body that is healed, you know, you reduce the inflammation and everything, the body naturally sheds the weight. You know, that's kind of part of it. With an unhealthy lifestyle, an unhealthy body will be holding on to extra water, extra weight. And a lot of times, you know, people, I've heard stories where people are like 100 pounds overweight and it's mostly water. Can you imagine holding on to that much water? But when your body's so full of toxins, it holds on to so much water to keep the toxins away from the vital organs, and you're just puffed up like a balloon and you're holding on to all this water. So, I mean, it's amazing during a water fast when you start releasing all this water and you're peeing like crazy, and it just, you know, it's a really, really great feeling.
Yes. And okay, that's great that you mentioned the water. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it, but we do know too that your body will hang on to fat because fat sequesters all the toxins that you put into your body, right? Fat and water. I hadn't thought of that. So that's
good
that you brought that up.
Yeah. A lot of times it's like 50-50, or it could be even more water than fat for some people, which is absolutely amazing.
Wow. Yes. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So there's also all the different fasting strategies now. Mm-hmm. And again, this can look endless. I mean, when I started out, it was, I think, only a handful of them. And I think the big one that I knew about that I did for a very long time was like the Master Cleanse.
But, yes, I've done that many times.
Yes. And since then, though, it's like there are umpteen different types of fasting. So can you go over some of the more common types of fasts and some of the benefits that each one can bring us?
Yes, absolutely. So I think the most popular fast right now is the intermittent fasting. I think that's what kind of everyone's doing. It's very easy to do. Intermittent fasting means you're fasting for a certain period of time. So it will be less than 24 hours, because once you're doing 24-hour fast, you're doing OMAD, which is like one meal a day. So some people do that, one meal a day, that's called OMAD. And that means every 24 hours, you eat within a 1 hour window. Now, intermittent fasting would be, for example, 16-8. That's a very popular one. That means you're fasting for 16 hours and you're eating within an 8 hour window. This is very easy to do because you're sleeping for 8 hours out of the 16 hours. And then your window might be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you try to have your two or three meals within this window and then nothing before or after that. This is, I think, the most popular way of doing it. And if someone's starting out for the first time, that's quite easy to do. So you're either skipping breakfast, and I always recommend skipping dinner. So like if you're doing your window, start earlier and close the window earlier, because you're going to see the best results if you're not eating in the evening, especially after sunset. You know, I'm always on about that. Don't eat after sunset. So if you would start, for example, at 8 a.m. and finish at 4, that would be much more effective than doing 10 to 6 or doing noon to 8, where you're eating most of your heavy meals in the evening. I don't recommend that. But the 16-8 is a very easy one to do. Now, if you're feeling adventurous, you can go into the 12-12, you know, 12 hours of fasting. And, to shorten your window. If you need to, in the beginning, have, you know, a little bit more leeway, you can do 12-12. But then if you need to shorten your window, then you can shorten your window to 6 hours of eating only, or even 4 hours of eating. And you don't have to do that every day. You can do it 2-3 times a week, or whatever feels right for you. You need to play around with it, also depending on your lifestyle and everything. But intermittent fasting is very, very popular right now, and it's a great way to get started. There are all kinds of charts that you can find online as well, and different things you can follow, but it's super easy and anyone can safely do it without any issues, without having to be, you know, under supervision or anything like that. Intermittent fasting is pretty much safe and fine for anyone. Now, I mentioned OMAD, that's a little bit more, you know, a bit harder, where you're only eating once a day. There's also alternate day fasting, where you eat for one day and then you don't eat the next day. You eat for one day, you don't eat the next day. You can do this periodically, but it's not something that you want to do, you know, over weeks or months, because that's just not sustainable, I don't think.
So in the alternate day fasting, what do you do on the days that you're fasting? Like, do you just drink water?
You would, on the days when you're fasting, you would just drink water. I mean, some people, there are different schools of thought when it comes to fasting. Some people say you can drink water, but you can also drink tea and coffee that is not sweetened or without cream. Some experts will tell you if you need to like have a little bit of coconut oil or a little bit of cream in your coffee, that's still considered fasting. So it really depends how hardcore you want to go. Because like I said, you know, if you want to be really strict, there are very strict ways of doing it. But if being a little bit more lenient will help you do the fast longer or better, then you can be a little bit flexible as well. I think it's good not to be too militant about it. Unless you're very sick and you're trying to cure something, then I would be definitely very strict. So, and then after that, we get into like the longer water fast, where you're doing 48 hours, you can do 72 hours, you know, 3 days. Some people will do a week. I have a girlfriend, she does every year 21 days. She does 3 weeks of water fasting while she's working as a busy real estate agent, running around all day. And at night, we're walking the dogs. And she does this every year for Lent, which is absolutely amazing. So I would not recommend to someone, guys, if you're listening to this, please don't just jump in and do a 21-day fast. I mean, she's been fasting for a long time. She's very experienced, very in tune with her body, knowing what it needs and everything. But, you know, a 21-day water fast, I think, should be supervised. I would not recommend for someone to do it on their own. And then after water fasting, then we can get into more hardcore stuff like dry fasting with the absence of water as well. I have done several dry fasts. The longest one I've done is 3 days. Again, don't do any dry fasting, guys, unless you've been water fasting for a long time. And you do a lot of research and you make sure it's right for you. You know, please don't just listen to me and say, well, this crazy woman said, don't drink water and I'm just going to jump in and do it. Don't do it like that. That's just silly. So I've done dry fasting and they say like 1 day of dry fasting is the equivalent of 3 days of water fasting, because it's so, you know, it gets into like such a deep cellular cleanse. Like when you think about, I don't even know how to best explain this, like a like a swamp that still has some water in it. But, you know, then with the dry fast, you squeeze everything out of your body. And the healing is just absolutely miraculous. There's a Russian doctor, I can't think of his name, but he does like extended dry fast with for people, you know, 10 days, 13 days. I've heard of people growing back their thyroid after thyroid removal years later. So, I mean, it's incredible what it does to the body. And, you know, they tell us that, you know, you can't go more than 3 days without water because you'll die, or you can't go more than 7 days without food or you'll die. And obviously these things are not true. People are proving that this is not true. Mm-hmm. So dry fasting is very hardcore. I've actually found dry fasting often easier than water fasting, because when you're not drinking, when you drink, it makes you a little bit hungry as well. But when you're not drinking, I just find there's no hunger. There's no, you know, and 3 days later, you're still urinating. You still have saliva in your mouth. You're, you know, it's really remarkable what happens. But again, this is for someone that's really experienced, that's been fasting for a long, long time. So those are like the basic ones. Then there's like protein sparing, modified fast, where you're only eating protein, like 800 calories a day. There's fasting mimicking diet, where you're not actually fasting, but you're tricking your body into thinking that it's fasting. That's another way. There's fat fasting, which was pioneered by Dr. Atkins, when you're stuck and you're at a plateau. Do you remember that? When you're at a plateau, and then you take 3 days and you only eat fat. So you're eating 1,000 calories, five meals, 200 calories each meal, which is like two bites of fat, right? But you're eating like 90% fat for 3 days to, like, you know, get you off the plateau and get you losing weight again. I have a video about this, and it's also in my book, but I have a video about this on YouTube. And for some reason, people watch that a lot. So people are still interested in these different kinds of fasting. So there's so many different ways to do this. Yeah, these would be, I think, the most popular ones. I'm sure there's like 100 other versions of these.
Well, that's amazing. You've done a grand tour. In a very
yes. My book explains this all, each of them in great detail, what the pros and cons are for doing each one.
What you're saying reminds me of a story. If anybody knows Dr. Gary Young, he was the founder of Young Living Essential Oils.
Oh, Young Living, yes.
The largest essential oils company in the world, and probably the highest quality oils that you can ever find. And he had a really difficult origin story, in that he, before he even got into essential oils, he had an accident. He was a lumberjack, and he had an accident in which a tree fell on him and literally sliced through his spinal column.
Oh my God.
On one side of his spinal column. So he ended up being quadriplegic. And this was devastating for him. He was told he would never, ever heal, that he would never walk again. He would spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And he became so depressed that he was intent on killing himself. But how do you kill yourself when you're a quadriplegic in a hospital? He just refused to eat. He refused to eat. And so I think he went for almost a year not eating. And to his utter astonishment, after a few months of this, he started gaining sensation in his extremities, in his toes.
Wow.
And the longer he kept at it, the more he began to feel more and more sensation. And he later realized that what was happening was that he was giving his body a break from food so that it could put all its resources into healing from the severance of his nerves. And so it was getting rid of the scar tissue that was blocking the reconnection of the severed nerves. And believe it or not, he healed himself. After all, he did not want to die any longer, but he wanted to continue the fasting.
Oh my God.
So that he would eventually be able to regain the use of his limbs. And he did. And he was amazing. He was one of the most active human beings you could ever find on this planet. He was just Oh, yes. So this is speaks to the power of
that is remarkable. I have heard of like the longest fast that is recorded or documented is a gentleman. He was severely obese and he also fasted for a year and lost something like 300 pounds or something. But isn't that amazing that when you do have all that excess weight, I don't know with Dr. Young how he was, but that you are able to do these extended fasts because you have all this fuel on your body that is able to sustain you. It's really incredible. I mean, how the human body is just remarkable given the right conditions. And also I wanted to mention, and this is really interesting because people always worry about loose skin with losing weight, with fasting, and then people are so worried about loose skin. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Jason Fung, who has a fasting clinic in Toronto, I don't know if you've heard about him. He's very big.
It's familiar, yeah.
Yes, he's amazing. And he said he has fasted at his clinic thousands and thousands of people and very obese, chronically obese people. And because of fasting, they never needed surgery after skin removal surgery. Because with fasting, you know, through autophagy, your body starts recycling, using up old cells, damaged cells, and that also includes skin. So it's not going to be, you know, feeding on your organs because those are vital. It's going to try to protect them, but it will help a lot with loose skin. So isn't that amazing that you can actually fast safely and not worry about loose skin so much? So I think that's pretty cool as well. I mean, I end up losing 30, 35 pounds in total and no problems at all with loose skin, like not on the face, not on the stomach. And, you know, that's quite substantial, especially like being 50, I was almost 50 when I was doing this. And to not have the loose skin, I think is really, really cool.
Oh, I know. You've done an amazing job on your body. It's truly
it's a work in progress, but you know.
Well, okay. So with all of these types of fasts out there, like how does an individual know which one would be right for them?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Lucia. I think the best way is really to start with intermittent fasting. And, you know, like I said, start with 12 hours on, 12 hours off, go to 16:8, and then shorten your window. And then after that, the next step would be to do a 24-hour fast. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be that hard because you think about it, if you start at night, then you're going to sleep through most of it, right? And then you just need to like skip breakfast and lunch. And then in the afternoon, you can eat again. So a 24-hour fast is very easy to do. And you can commit yourself to doing it, you know, maybe once a week and see how your body feels. Always listen to your body, guys. I can't emphasize this enough. I'm really, really intuitive about my fasting. And that's why I never say, okay, I'm going to fast for 10 days. And then I'm just going to be, you know, no matter what, I'm going to stick to my fast. No, today I feel great. I'm going to fast. Let's see tomorrow. And I always go day by day. I never put any pressure or anything on myself because you have to listen to your body. Some days your body or some periods of time, your body is fine and it's happy to fast. And other times it's not. And when it's not, you don't force it. But the 24-hour fast, anybody can do basically anytime. That's not hard to do. After you've done the 24 hours, you might want to work your way up to 48 hours and see how you feel. And, you know, with water fasting, so drinking water, taking salt throughout the day, I think that's always really important. That avoids any kind of headaches or any kind of electrolyte imbalances, you know, nice pink Himalayan salt or Celtic salt. That's always, you know, you need to have that on hand all the time when you're fasting. Like I said, dry fasting, that's for the experts, guys. Don't even, you know, I'm just telling you guys that because I think it's super interesting and I find it really fascinating, but it's really for the seasoned faster. And then you can see how long you're able to go comfortably, safely. You can also join like fasting groups on Facebook because it's important to have support, or go to a clinic where they do supervised fast. So if you would have like a chronic condition that you needed to address, I would not say, you know, at home, just jump in and fast for weeks on end. Don't do that. You know, get help. Like I said, Dr. Jason Fung is there in Canada under a clinic, under supervision, someone that's, you know, checking your labs and your blood tests and everything to make sure that you're on the right path. And I think that's super important.
Oh, good. That's great advice. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that, you know, really tune into your body.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't just follow the fast because you have to follow the fast. Your body is going to give you signals about when it's ready to continue, when it's ready to stop.
Yeah. And your body will tell you. Your body will tell you when it's time to stop as well.
Right. Okay, so, but there are conditions under which people should not be fasting.
Yes.
Right? So what would those be?
Well, definitely not for pregnant women. Definitely not for mothers who are nursing. Not for children. You know, I would not recommend it for children at all. Unless, you know, you've got an obese child. And, but again, under supervision, not on your own. There's more and more info about how great it is, how healthy it is to fast our dogs as well. But that's a different topic. But that's interesting. That would be interesting for you as well, Lucille. I'm actually fasting Stella right now. So, you know, they say even like a 24-hour fast once a week can be super beneficial for your dog. And if you look at your dog used to be a wolf. And wolves were like humans, you know, they're carnivores, and they were fasting.
Fasting,
exactly. Right. So wolves are not out there in the forest eating three meals a day of, you know, corn and peas and rice and, you know, all of those things. I just went to a vet and the vet said, "What do you feed your dog?" And I said, "Only raw meat." And he said, "You're crazy. Your dog needs carbohydrates. Dogs are not carnivores. She needs to be eating rice." And he was going on, and I'm like, "Oh my God, get me out of here."
Oh my God.
And he was serious. And then I go in the waiting room.
Where did they ever eat rice in the wild?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go cook some rice now. Like, what are they doing? And if you look at dog food, you know, with the corn, with the wheat, with the potatoes, with the rice, it's like, no wonder all the dogs are sick. So if you're feeding this kind of crap to your dog, you know, maybe give them the chance to fast once a week. That would be a good thing. And so definitely not pregnant women, not children, not nursing women. If you have a chronic condition, you need to be under supervision. If you're taking all kinds of medications and things like that, if you're diabetic, you need to be under supervision because this will alter your blood sugar levels. You know, you might need to adjust your insulin if you're on insulin. So, you know, if always err on the side of safety. So if you're not sure, don't jump into it, get help. I'm not even going to say go see your doctor because your doctor is going to tell you you're going to die. You know, find a good
natural. Doctors are not taught anything about fasting.
No, go find a holistic physician. Exactly. A holistic minded physician, a naturopath, someone that can actually help you or guide you, or someone, you know, like a good fasting clinic that has doctors that are trained at this if you're looking to do an extended fast. So I think those are the most important things. If you're healthy, you're not taking medications and stuff like that, you can safely fast, you know, 24 to 72 hours without any issues at all.
And so how old should a person be before they start fasting? Because I don't think it's healthy for, say, teenagers to get into it. But what would be the minimum age at which,
what would concern me with teenagers is like, what's the motivation? And like you said, well, you know, if you're starting to do it for weight loss, then you don't want to get into like, oh, sorry, I missed another one. Anyone with an eating disorder, fasting is
right. That's exactly.
That's super important. Actually, Lucille, I'm glad you mentioned that because anyone with an eating disorder, fasting can be a slippery slope, you know, and it becomes obsessive and you're definitely not doing it for health reasons, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So if you have an eating disorder, do not fast. Fasting is not for you. As far as, I mean, it's really hard to say an age, Lucy. Like, so it would be hard to say like 18 or 20 or really what is the motivation behind it? Like, why are you fasting? Are you fasting because it's fashionable or are you fasting? Yeah. You know, like an 18, 20-year-old should not have so many toxins and things like that. I think this is a little bit further down the line. But having said that, you know, there are a lot of health conscious young people now that are into yoga, meditation, and perhaps fasting as well. Probably most of them are vegans, but that's a different story, right? But just use caution. Use caution if you're young.
Yeah. And then another thing that's come up, I've seen in the biohacking world fairly recently is this whole idea that women should fast differently from men because we're more biochemically, you know, complicated. We cycle. I mean, men cycle to a certain extent, but we really cycle.
Yeah.
And so they... you know, one of the biohackers I follow, she's fond of saying women are not just mini men. Mm-hmm. And so what would you advise a woman if she's still, you know, having menstrual period, should she be fasting according to her cycle?
Yeah, well, you know, you're probably talking about Dr. Mindy Pels, right? Dr. Mindy Pels?
Mindy Pels and primarily Stephanie Estima here in Toronto. Yeah. Yeah.
So Dr. Mindy Pels, she actually wrote a book on this. It's called Fast Like a Girl. And it's a great book specifically for women on how to fast. My point of view is intuitive fasting. So for me, it's always about listening to your body. her theory makes sense to me. And she would tell you, for example, from day 20 up to your period, don't fast, which makes sense, you know, because you should be having higher nutrition in that period of your time, in that period of your cycle, and you are hungrier before your period. So that makes sense that that would be a more challenging time to fast. But having said that, I've fasted many times before my period because that was just the time that I had free and it just felt right. And you know, I kind of breezed through it and without any issues and had very productive fasts. So for me, I listen to my instinct more. But what Dr. Mindy Pell says as well makes a lot of sense. So if you're interested in that, you know, then you should check out her book because she gives you specific guidelines when to fast, how to fast for women. But for me, I think historically speaking, again, you know, we didn't have this privilege that, oh, I'm coming up to my period. So, well, there's nothing to eat. So I'm not going to fast, guys. Bring me some food, right? It wasn't really like that. And, you know, when there was food, we would eat. And when there wasn't, we would fast. So I think biologically, we are able to adapt to that either way. But like I said, that makes sense to me as well, that if it's easier to fast on certain days, like maybe from day 1 to 10, it's much easier to fast. Then by all means, you know, take advantage of that period and do your fasting in that time.
So I assume then for women who are menopausal, postmenopausal, the timing of the fasting doesn't matter so much, of course.
Yes.
But it can fasting in, you know, women in the menopausal years, can it help them with the perimenopausal symptoms?
Absolutely. I think it can help so much. It can help with, you know, with hot flashes, with bringing down inflammation, with so many different issues. It can also help with sleep issues, even though, you know, you might have disrupted sleep while you're fasting, which is quite normal. It does happen. You will be sleeping much better afterwards. It can help with the brain fog. It can help with the anxiety, with your memory, you know, clearing the brain. And it's just, it's amazing. So I think it can definitely help menopausal women. I think it's been really, really helpful for me because other than like the odd hot flashes, I haven't really experienced any of the things that I hear so many women are going through. And I'm sure that, you know, other than my healthy lifestyle, obviously, but I think fasting is a huge part of that. So yeah, most definitely. But again, ladies, you know, listen to your body. Don't force something that doesn't feel right. If you've been fasting for a day or two and it's time to break the fast, then you break the fast. Don't put pressure on yourself to carry on. Because the thing, what we don't want to have more of during menopause is cortisol. We don't want to raise our stress hormone.
Right.
So that's why you want to fast intelligently. You know, if 24 hours is all your body can do, then that's perfect. Then you don't need to do any more than that. If after 24 hours you're shaking and you're hangry and you want to kill your husband or whatever, then you need to chill and just go eat something. And that's absolutely fine. So don't be hard on yourself. Don't put extra strain and pressure on yourself because that's the last thing we need. We need to be calm and zen and everyone will be happier. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense. How many women, though, have the time in their lives to be calm and zen for a few days? That's the other challenge, but that's another story.
Very true.
One of the big mistakes I used to make when I was fasting, especially when I was younger and very, restless and you know, eager to get that weight off, is I would not transition into and out of the fasts properly. Mm-hmm. And I since learned that you damage or you're it's so counterproductive to the whole purpose of fasting if you don't go into it correctly and you don't come out of it in a healthy way. So tell us a little bit about what is the best way to transition into and out of fasts.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you're doing a short fast, you know, if you're doing like a 24-hour fast, you don't really need a lot of preparation. You just kind of stop eating. But also if you're like, I follow a pretty strict keto carnivore diet. So when I pretty much just jump into fasting, I might maybe, you know, have fewer calories or have a bit healthier meals or something like that. But I don't actually go through like a whole week of preparation to do an extended fast because my body's so used to going in and out of the fasting state that it's just kind of a smooth sailing for me. But for someone that's just starting to fast for the first time and you're looking at doing a 2-3 day fast, then you want to give yourself at least 2-3 days to prepare beforehand. And by doing that, you know, you want to eliminate like grains, bread, alcohol, definitely caffeine, sweets, you know, get those things out of your diet so that your body starts cleansing. If you can get into ketosis before you are fasting, So even if you're not on a keto diet, but you would follow a keto diet for like a week or a few days before fasting, that would help you so much, because once you're in ketosis, you're not going to be hungry. Because
can you explain a little bit what keto diet?
Yes, of course. So ketosis is normally, you know, we're using carbohydrates as fuel. That's kind of what everyone's using. But when you go on a keto diet, then you're not using carbohydrates as fuel. You're using fat as fuel. So the way to achieve ketosis is to really eliminate the carbs from your diet. You need to be like under 50 or even under 20 grams of carbs a day. You can buy these sticks in the pharmacy where you can actually urinate on it. It'll show you if you're in ketosis or not. So it's just about reducing your carbohydrate intake so that your body gets into this state where it's burning ketones and fat for fuel rather than carbohydrates. And if you can get to this state, then fasting will be so much easier, because, you know, in ketosis, you are not hungry. You're rarely hungry, or you don't have those hunger pangs where you're like going crazy if you're not going to eat. So that's a really good way to do an extended fast, is to get into ketosis first. Now, during the fast, obviously, you'll be drinking water. And then how you break the fast is so important to me. And also not just how you break the fast, but how you go on eating after that. Because I see too many people, okay, I'm going to fast, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get healthier or whatever. And they do this extended fast. And then, oh my God, I can't wait to eat this or that. I'm going right to, you know, KFC or McDonald's. And then you've done nothing. You know, if you're going to undo it with the crap you're eating afterwards, then you've done absolutely nothing with your fast. So the fasting is a time of reflection. You should be in a calm state, like we were saying. If you're running around, you're in a busy time, then that's not the time to fast. Fast when you can really just sit back, you can meditate, you can take it easy. If your job is not so stressful, if you're running around, you're stressed out and you're not eating, it's just too much stress on the body. I don't think it's good. So after the fast, what I do, like I said, because I'm on a keto diet, you know, you're someone like that is vegan or vegetarian, they'll go to the fruits and the vegetables first. I will probably have like a yogurt, a plain yogurt, a Greek yogurt or something like that. And then, you know, maybe 6 hours later, I'll have some eggs. So I break my fast very differently from like the traditional way of breaking your fast. And then slowly, you throughout like 2-3 days, you will build up to your normal diet again, which will be hopefully healthier. Because through fasting, you can get rid of so many different cravings. And once you get rid of the cravings, then it's a great opportunity to start eating healthier foods and to make better choices. So this is, you know, make a plan, you know, like make a plan for what you're going to do afterwards. If you have this addiction to sweets, for example, and you've lost your craving for sweets, then stop eating them afterwards. Or same with bread or pasta or junk food or drinking Coke or coffee or alcohol, you know. It's like, take this opportunity to make healthy lifestyle changes and do it with each fast and try to sustain it for as long as possible. It's going to make a world of difference.
Well, that's great. Excellent information. And I should have known of you years and years ago when I started fasting, because I would have would not have wasted all that time really damaging my health through the fasting and not doing it properly. But anyway, that's a great explanation. So you've alluded to certain things about your own way of fasting. And I just wondered if you could just give us an outline of what would be a typical fast for you. How do you do your fast?
Yeah, like I said, I kind of just jump in. Like I said, I do it intuitively. And 24-hour fasting, I do a lot. I'm not really that hungry because I'm usually in ketosis. So I'm not hungry. And if I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling hungry, I only eat when I'm hungry. I eat when I'm hungry and I drink when I'm thirsty. So pretty much I listen to my body. And if I have this opportunity to do a 24-hour fast, then I evaluate afterwards. Okay, well, let's see how I'm feeling the next day. Next day, I'm still not hungry. Okay. And I've got a light schedule. Then I will continue for another day. And I just kind of go day by day like that. During the day, I drink water. I don't force the water. I drink when I'm thirsty. You know, I'm not like, oh my God, I need like a gallon of water. I just drink when I'm thirsty. I don't overdo it. I always have the salt handy because, you know, like I said, if you have headache or you're dizzy or anything like that, the salt will take care of that. It's really important to have that on hand. And I just, I'm so in tune with my body. I listen to my body and I just kind of go with the flow. As far as, you know, I'll do walking. I'll make sure I do some grounding, swimming, even cold therapy. I do my biocharger, you know, to recharge my batteries. I'll do red light therapy. So I try to make it into like this really nice holistic experience where it's not just about the absence of food, but about nourishing my body with different things. I find fasting in the summer so much easier because you're getting all this energy from sunlight, which is feeding your mitochondria and, you know, fueling your body. So I find fasting in the summer super easy. In the winter, it can be more challenging, you know, where it's cold and you're looking for the heartier foods and more sustainment. So that's all I can really say is listen to your body and do what feels right.
So you're not doing like your usual hard workouts during
I don't. Like I said, I've done some weight training like that on that 10th day. I had all this energy and I did a really great workout. I don't push myself. I prefer to do like yoga, stretching, you know, walking, just more gentle things because I don't think it's the time to really push yourself. But, you know, having said that, because you have this surge of growth hormone, then you can, you know, also use it to like pump up your muscles and grow your muscles and everything. So it's quite interesting. But so that you can also take care of that, but you don't want to overdo it. It's right. I think a fast should be gentle. I think that's really important and never stressful. If you're feeling stressed and you're putting all this pressure on yourself, then just go eat. Then it's not the right time to fast.
Right. As you said earlier, you do not want to be pushing out the cortisol because that's going to really be counterproductive to all the beneficial effects of the fast. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Well, you know, Lynn, this has been such a wonderful, very comprehensive tour of the fasting world. I really thank you a lot because it's I certainly have learned just by listening to our conversation here. It's been great. Do you want to put up your book to the screen there so that people can see yet again this book?
Not just put it up, guys. The first 5 people to comment will get a free copy.
Oh, excellent.
We'll comment on our video and I will send the first 5 people a free copy of this.
That's excellent. Yes. So, so you can get it anywhere, right? You can get it at Amazon, pretty much wherever you can get books, would you say?
Yes, I think so. Online, because of Amazon has all these affiliate websites. So I'm pretty sure you can find it anywhere.
Okay, great. And so again, the title is The Fasting Bible: How to Lose Weight, Grow Younger, and Heal Your Body in 30 Days or Less.
Guaranteed or your money back.
I'm sure nobody's asked for their money back, but so anyway. Okay. So thank you, Lynn. And thank you all for joining in on our podcast. I hope you've learned lots, and I hope that you have learned the healthy and safe way to fast and learned whether or not fasting is right for you. So we appreciate all comments, all questions, and, you know, please feel free to also like and subscribe and comment and share this episode if you feel anybody else could benefit from it. Yes. So thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much, Lucille, for the interview. I enjoyed that. And thank you guys so much. And we'll see you in episode 21.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.